The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
You know the thing, Jonathan, that strikes me? We are just at the end of his first full week as president-elect, and he is moving so much more quickly and with so much more intent than he did 8 years ago when he won the presidency in 2016. Think about where we are now compared with where we were then. He's moved rapidly on making some of these key appointments. He's made some that are pretty broadly acceptable and some that have just raised the hackles around the country and certainly here in Washington. Even among some Republicans. But it is a demonstration of how different I think this Trump term is going to be compared to the last one, where he surrounds himself with people he knows he agrees with him, who will not be challenging him, and with a much stronger sense of how things work in Washington and how to get done the things that he wants to get done.
Dr. Tulsi Gabbard, what are your thoughts this morning?
Well, I thought it was the worst cabinet level appointment in history until they then heard about the Matt Gaetz appointment. Totally unqualified, unfit professionally, and really lacking in the moral characteristics, the character that you need to hold these jobs. I think this vote should be 100-0 against both of them.
Historically, the worst group of nominees. He's unhinged with how he's going about this. Matt Gaetz is literally the worst pick in the world for attorney general. Matt Gaetz is the probably worst person in the country to head up that organization.
You know, it's such a
Tulsi Gabbard has taken actions and made statements over the past several years that really raise serious questions about her common sense, her judgment, as well as her political sympathies. Cozying up to Putin as well as to meeting with Bashar Assad, I think really does show that she doesn't have the type of perspective that is needed for somebody who's going to head up these 18 intelligence agencies. An unserious pick for a serious position.
Add the Secretary of Defense nominee, Peter Hegseth. This is someone who, is known to be a white supremacist, known to be an extremist.
Yes, a promise to deliver on the economy, on immigration. And the people in charge of those two things, one of them is an alleged child sex trafficker, and the other is, by her own telling, a dog killer.
The idea that Tulsi Gabbard, in a normal circumstance, could get a security clearance to be a Walmart-style greeter at any U.S. intelligence agency, let alone get past the security barriers, is insane. So you do. This is the cabinet that you nominate to not to run the U.S. government to do anything, but to destroy the U.S. government, so that the U.S. government can be fundamentally reimagined as something much more like a unitary, authoritarian, or autocratic, for lack of a better term, system.
Well, the regime media, they're revving up the engines again as all of these Trump appointments come down. They don't like them. How rich is it for the man who worked for Obama, okay, and he voted communist, I think, in 1976, and he says it's Tulsi Gabbard that is cozying up to Putin. The best indication that these are pretty solid picks is when you see just how the regime reacts. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of this fast-moving week. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Hopefully you enjoyed the special edition of the Trumpet Daily yesterday, our producer filling in for those first few valuable minutes before we had the 45-minute video, the look back over just the incredible twists and turns of this past year. We gave you a little bit of a end-of-the-year montage early, just to whet your appetite. We'll have plenty more of that as we work our way toward the end of this calendar year. So just a few observations to make. For one, I touched on this the other day, the prophecy about just the dearth of leadership in these last days, Isaiah 3. There's just we're going to be searching for strong leaders, and there aren't that many of them. So when you do see some leadership, when you do see a few quality leaders, it is refreshing, even inspiring, to see what can happen if you've got leadership, if you've got authority to actually carry out an agenda. For so many years, we've seen people carrying out an agenda, people that hate the United States and that want to destroy it, that want to blot it out. And here now you have an administration, or one that's coming in soon, that wants to fix all that's broken. And they're probably going to have some success and some failures along the way. We know that the resurgence is going to be short-lived, sadly. But still, just to see how important it is, it makes, at least with me, I've been bringing this out in class this week for our students, it really does inspire me to just think about what one man, in this case, Jesus Christ, what he can do, along with his bride, along with the other kings and priests that rule underneath him. That's what we're preparing for. That's what we're in training for. But to think about what righteous leadership can actually accomplish. The heads are exploding because they know change is coming. They know this. Donald Trump, first maybe we can start with this clip from Joe Rogan. He's talking about all of these celebrities that just absolutely, they're patting him on the back saying, I wish we could come out publicly and do and say what you've said. This is clip number one.
Do you know how many artists that have reached out to me that are like hippies, man? Like artists, like musicians, comedians that thanked me for endorsing Trump because they can't do it. They said they want to, but they don't want to be attacked. They can't say it. They think the country is going in the wrong direction. They think that this control of social media by the government, which we would have had pretty much fully if it wasn't for Elon buying Twitter, that this is a dangerous precedent to set, whether it's a right-wing government or a left-wing government, and that what you see that's happening in the UK where people are being imprisoned for tweets and Facebook posts.
In the UK is the part that's mind-bending about it.
Mind-bending. The whole thing is nuts, and it's a dangerous path that we were on. We were on that path. Trump has vowed to have free speech become a very important part of what he's standing for, and that this censoring of information needs to stop, and that we need to stop all government influence in what people have to say.
That's Joe Rogan talking about the silent majority, perhaps. Even in the celebrity class, artists that have contacted him and said, thank you. Thank you. We know the country is going in the wrong direction. They're happy with new leadership coming in just a couple months. This was an event last night at Mar-a-Lago. And Sylvester Stallone, he's a big Hollywood guy. I don't think he came out before, not that I know of. I don't think he came out and endorsed Trump beforehand. Quite a few celebrities did come out and endorse Kamala. We know that. But this was Sylvester Stallone, the Hollywood actor, last night introducing Donald Trump.
We are in the presence of a really mythical character. I love mythology. And this individual does not exist on this planet. Nobody in the world could have pulled off what he pulled off, so I'm in awe. And I'll just say this, and I mean it. When George Washington defended his country, he had no idea that he was going to change the world. Because without him, you could imagine what the world would look like. Guess what? We got the second George Washington. Congratulations!
Wow. Nobody could have pulled this off, says Stallone. Nobody except Donald Trump Well, we know there's more. There's even more to this story. It's as you saw on the video yesterday, Warren 24. God's hand. It's obvious. It's obvious that God is at work. He's still at work. This is from Real Clear Politics. You saw in the cold open there, the woman that was saying, yeah, well, what I'm struck by this time around is just the pace. Look at how fast these appointments are coming down. And he's actually appointing people that are loyal to him. Imagine that. Loyalists. If Obama, if he rams his appointments through, gets the recess appointments or what, or the fake president 4 years ago, that's okay. That's okay. But for Trump to even make the appointments, I mean, as you heard there in the cold open, people are just laughing. These are not serious picks, says John Bolton. They should get turned down 100-0. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. Matt Gaetz, I mean, that's getting a lot of pushback from the establishment. And you can see why. But just coming back to Donald Trump, since Election Day, the Trump transition has been copying and pasting the same quote again and again into emails to reporters seeking comment on this or that presidential appointment. It says, President-elect Trump will begin making decisions on who will serve in his second administration soon. And then further on, it says, the boilerplate delivers an obvious truth that many in D.C. find uncomfortable or in some cases unimaginable. The president-elect alone, not his senior staff, and certainly not any outside organization, is calling the shots. I mean, he announced it last night at Mar-a-Lago. In the case of Burgum from North Dakota, I think, he's going to be over the interior. They're going to start drilling. They're going to start producing here at home. He's putting in accomplished professionals, businessmen like Elon Musk, like Vivek. And he's putting in someone like Matt Gaetz to clean house at the DOJ. We'll see who the FBI director appointment's going to be. Probably someone in the spirit of Matt Gaetz. But here is Real Clear saying, this is a leader who's actually making the decisions himself. He's calling the shots. It says here, Kennedy is an environmental lawyer who believes in climate change and who sued oil companies. He talks about Kennedy. RFK, Bobby Kennedy, he's over Health and Human Services. He's over all of those alphabet health agencies, the CDC, the NIH. It's really pretty incredible. It says here, then there's Matt Gaetz. Real Clear reported that the Florida Republican was about to resign after Trump announced his intent to nominate him to be Attorney General. His hasty resignation likely precludes the House Ethics Committee from releasing a report that includes allegations he had sex with a minor. So he's been investigated by the DOJ. And according to the National Review, that's disqualifying. If Merrick Garland investigates you, you're disqualified. This is what, of course, that's the whole point of lawfare. They think it's disqualifying for Donald Trump. Well, he's been investigated time and time again by Merrick Garland's DOJ. Barack Obama's DOJ, the Dear Leader's DOJ. I think Trump put him in there because he knows what Donald Trump has been through. They've never had any charges to put him in jail. They dropped the case, in fact, the DOJ. But you listen to the talking heads, and I mean, they go on and on and on about the allegations. About the allegations. Listen to, this is a Republican senator as he's answering this reporter from MSNBC, clip two.
So what is your reaction to Matt Gaetz as Attorney General? Right now, would you support him?
Listen, Andrea, it's amazing to me that people are reacting the way they are, what you just showed, because there has been no one better at channeling the American public's frustration with the weaponization of the Department of Justice than Matt Gaetz. You can understand the president's frustration with the DOJ. During his campaign, during his first campaign, they used a fake Clinton dossier to spy on him. Look at what happened in the first Trump administration. This whole fake Russiagate hoax, the DOJ investigated him for years doing that. In 2020, the DOJ went to big tech and had them censor Hunter Biden's laptop to throw the election toward Joe Biden. And if you think about what just happened in 2024, the DOJ, their colleagues around the country, they brought five different cases to try President Biden's top opponent, President Trump. I can understand his frustration in wanting to put an agent of change in place. I'm not surprised at all.
But for Andrea Mitchell, I mean, none of those things he just listed off there are of any concern. The only thing she's concerned about is Matt Gaetz's reputation. The fact that he's been investigated. All of these fake investigations, these hoaxes promoted by your DOJ doesn't even faze her. Yeah, she doesn't care a bit about that. Listen to her as she goes on, clip three.
What about his personal record? There are questions about him. He was on the House floor sharing photos of women, talking about, bragging about his sexual exploits, about the medication that he used, the drugs that he used. The ethics investigation has not been released yet. It's been cut off. It was supposed to be voted on tomorrow, but his resignation has aborted that. But what about all of the questions and the allegations against him? His co-conspirator and his friend is serving an 11-year jail term for the sex trafficking. I mean, there was plenty to investigate there.
Andrea, you're talking, you said it yourself, these are allegations. It's amazing that you're more upset about allegations than you are about the weaponization of the Department of Justice. The American public has completely lost faith in the DOJ. Think about it. The DOJ sending their agents to spy on the parents who go to, you know, the school board meetings. It's just amazing. As the American public has seen all of this, they see somebody like Matt Gaetz who's willing to stand up and call it wrong, and President Trump's willing to put somebody in place that will change all of this.
Pretty good answers there from this senator. I think he's from Tennessee. But what about these allegations? She does not care about the weaponization of the DOJ and how that the dear leader has used that agency to attack political opponents, political enemies. And Trump, obviously, he wants to clean it up. He wants to clean house. This is from the National Review. Again, how pathetic. Donald Trump nominated Gaetz, an unqualified toady, to the nation's top law enforcement office. And in the blink of an eye, Gaetz resigned from the House to apparently force the shutdown of an ethics investigation into allegations of sexual misconduct. To be sure, Gaetz was not charged. He has denied any wrongdoing, and allegations, even colorable ones, are not evidence. Nevertheless, the standards of fitness for an office of high public trust, and it doesn't get much higher than the Attorney General, are considerably loftier than whether one manages to evade criminal prosecution. He's disqualified. Says this is the National Review. How pathetic. How pathetic to just take whatever the dear leader's DOJ says about, in this case, Matt Gaetz, who has defended Donald Trump from day one. He sees the obvious corruption and weaponization of these federal agencies and wants to do something about it. From what I've heard, just in looking at a few news reports, Trump was looking for a strict, you know, constitutionalist for AG, and Gaetz said, look, if you really want to bring about, you know, transformative change, put me in there. And Trump took him up on it. Pretty amazing. And then the heads explode. As I say, that's the surest sign that this really does get under their skin. National Review calls him a toady. What they want a good toady like Rod Rosenstein or Jeff Sessions or Bill Barr, you know, an establishment type. And then if you're in these agencies, Andy McCabe and John Brennan, you saw him in the cold. If you lie under oath, if you deceive, if you do any of those things, that's fine. That's fine. As long as you're just an establishment liberal. To actually have someone want to come in to uphold the law and to apply it equally to both sides of the aisle? This is a Jeroboam-like transformation that we're witnessing here. And even if Gates is unsuccessful in being appointed or getting the Senate confirmation, there's probably a lot of others, Tulsi Gabbard and RFK and others, that are going to scoot right on through. Maybe that's even what Donald Trump is thinking. If Matt Gaetz is the fall guy here and everyone else gets through. I mean, you listened to John Thune yesterday, and he's sounding, at least, I know he's a McConnell clone, but he's sounding like he wants to just move Donald Trump's appointments on through. That would be amazing to see if it actually does happen. Listen to this same senator, Hagerty, I think is his name, from Tennessee. This is his response to Andrea Mitchell, who's very upset about Pete Hegseth being appointed as the secretary over the Department of Defense. This is clip 4.
Pete Hegseth, who is a Fox News commentator, he's a decorated Iraq and Afghanistan combat veteran, but he's never run an $800 billion operation overseeing 1.3 million active duty service members. Does he have the management experience from being a Fox News anchor on weekends to run something as important as the Pentagon in the midst of two wars?
Pete is a graduate of Princeton, a graduate of Harvard. He's my constituent in Tennessee. He's an inspirational leader. If you think about some of the people that we have, look at Lloyd Austin right now, refusing to hold anybody to account for what happened in Afghanistan. The Department of Defense has been enormously mismanaged under the current regime. It needs to change dramatically. They need to stop working on pronouns and get back to lethality, and someone like Pete can lead that.
You know, what's revealing about all of this is it shows just the contempt that these talking heads, the regime media, the contempt that they have for the law of cause and effect, for judging by fruits. Okay, well, you're mad about Hegseth? Well, let's look at Lloyd Austin. Let's look at the Afghanistan withdrawal. Let's look at the military going woke. Okay, and the one I can't get over with, I just can't get over it, is RFK. I'm sure he has plenty of ideas and thoughts that anyone would disagree with. But on the point about health, that looking at America, like Jesse Waters said last night, go to the beach sometime and see what's changed over the last 30 years. America's more obese. We're sicker than we've ever been. We've got all of these diseases. 1 in 6 have diabetes. 1 in how many ever have heart disease of some kind? You would think that someone would say, listen, I'm going to be open to this man's ideas, to what this man has in mind. Because look around, we're sick. We're sick as a society in more ways than one. You would think they would be applauding someone to come along with a new way, a new approach. But they can't do it. They can't do it. The status quo is what they want. The same old, same old. Just, and I mean, even Elon and Vivek to come in and say, yeah, we want to trim trillions of dollars out of government waste. Who would disagree with that? Just looking at America today, well, if you're in the ruling class, a lot of people would disagree. The Washington Post regarding Hegseth. President-elect Donald Trump's selection of Fox News host Hegseth as his nominee for defense secretary would place atop the Pentagon a combat veteran and political ally who has assailed the military as ineffective and woke, mused about firing the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and blasted the top brass as having failed to safeguard American strength. So the Post is opposed. We can't have Pete in there. He's just a Fox News host. He's not qualified. He's not like Lloyd Austin. He couldn't manage anything, Afghanistan or otherwise. The Bible says to judge by the fruits. Cause and effect. I mean, Donald Trump, clearly, he's looking for a fresh start, some new blood, a different perspective, new ideas. He's not going to hit every single one of them out of the park, but you look at the bitter affliction, like my father says in Great Again, I mean, Donald Trump, he does a pretty good job of identifying the many problems, of identifying the bitter affliction. He certainly does. We're going to, Sam and I have talked about Great Again, because we need to pull that book off the shelf and give it another review. Given what's happening to America right now, and given that we know, as I said earlier, that the resurgence is going to be short term, we really do need to keep our minds on God and what God is doing and what God will do in the future. When we come back, I want to spend a good chunk of what time we have left on the appointment of Bobby Kennedy and just some of his views about physical health. Common sense. And even what he said recently, I think it was at a Tucker Carlson event, where he talked about how that for 19 years he's been praying for an opportunity to help improve the health of Americans. 19 years he's been praying this. Seems like more people should be lining up to listen to what he has to say. He essentially said God intervened. Finally. And finally he has an opportunity to help. We'll play that for you and a few others as well. And also, this week's edition of World Watch, that's coming up just right after the break as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to TrumpetDaily.com.
Russia's economy will grow more than the United States this year as its economy weathers Western pressure, International Banker reported on October 31st. Russia is grappling with inflation, sky-high interest rates, an acute labor shortage, and declining currency, yet its economy continues to grow. Russia is under heavy sanctions from the West in response to its invasion of Ukraine. The fact that its economy is growing faster than that of major Western nations is an ominous sign for the U.S. The International Monetary Fund's October 22nd issue of World Economic Outlook forecasts that in 2024, Russia's economy will grow 3.6%. This comes after a February report that in 2023, Russia's economy grew faster than those of every G7 nation: Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the U.K., and the U.S. The Bible prophesies that Russia will soon be among the world's most dominant nations. Its ability to stand up to Western sanctions shows it is on track to rise into its prophesied role. To learn more, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches Russia's Return to Superpower Status. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz and French President Emmanuel Macron held a telephone call in the morning of November 6, the day after the U.S. presidential election, to discuss greater cooperation between their nations. In the wake of Donald Trump's victory, Macron and Scholz urgently committed to strengthening their relationship. We will work in this new context for a more united, stronger, more sovereign Europe in cooperation with the U.S. and defending our interests and values, Macron posted on X. In a separate post, he wrote, Donald Trump was elected by Americans to defend the interests of Americans. The question we as Europeans must ask ourselves is, are we ready to defend the interests of Europeans? Anti-American sentiments are rising in Europe as the continent looks to leave behind its past with America and become a unified powerhouse. The Bible prophesies a German-led European power bloc that will be the primary force behind an economic siege of America. Europe is uniting and will soon force America out into the cold. To learn more, order our free book, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. Russian President Vladimir Putin signed into law a comprehensive strategic partnership treaty with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un on November 9th that includes a mutual defense clause. The treaty allows each country to immediately provide military and other assistance to the other nation in case of an armed attack. The agreement also aims to ensure mutual respect for state sovereignty and territorial integrity. The countries will cooperate in the food sector, energy security, information and communication technologies, and healthcare. North Korea was once considered to be an isolated country with little to no foreign cooperation or influence. Time has proved, however, that it does have an ally in Russia, just as is prophesied in your Bible. To learn more about the roles these two nations will play in end-time prophetic events, read North Korea, Truly an Isolated State? To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
And all these allergic diseases that suddenly appeared, I never knew a kid anywhere in any of the schools that I went to that had a peanut allergy, or food allergies, or eczema. My brother had asthma, and he was told by his doctor there will never be a cure for asthma because it's so rare that nobody will ever study it. Today, one out of every eight black children in America's cities has asthma. What is happening to our children? And I saw this happening, and I began writing about it, and the media rose up and silenced me in 2005. And nobody would talk about it. The doctors wouldn't talk about it. The pediatricians wouldn't talk about it. The scientists, the government officials. And people warned me, if you keep talking about this, you're going to destroy your career. And I was stunned by this. And for 19 years, since 2005, I spend 30 minutes praying every day when I get out of bed. And I... And my prayer is this. I ask God for 19 years to put me in a position where I could end the chronic disease epidemic and bring health back to our children. And in August, God sent me Donald Trump.
Bobby Kennedy, of all people, giving a shout out to prayer, a prayer he uttered 19 years straight, every day. Put me in a position where, give me some authority, where I can help to end chronic disease. Because what is happening to our children? How could the regime just so effortlessly dismiss this man and his ideas? Oh, he's anti-vax. He's not even anti-vax. He's gotten vaccines. He just wants them to be tested. Certainly more so than the one in 2020-21. Prayed for a position of authority so that he could do something. And along comes Donald Trump. And, of course, you know how the talking heads would respond to this particular appointment. Listen to clip 14.
Dr. Patel, your first reaction. Oh, my God. I mean, those of us who have spent our, like, lifetime, kind of decades working in and around in HHS, I'm not kidding, Nicole, my texts are flying off the chain, both Democrats and Republicans saying, this can't be real. Someone must have gotten this wrong.
Well, you know, it's not often that the entire medical and public health community is going to be in lockstep on something, but they're pretty close on this in terms of their significant concerns, horror even. Somebody said to me today, I can't think of any single individual who'd be more damaging to public health than RFK.
Community of anti-vax disinformation. There are people that refuse vaccines, and there are outbreaks of polio and measles in this country, diseases that were once thought eradicated. What should people watching do if they have young kids?
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is on record saying he would stop investment in infectious disease research for 8 years. 8 years, just no infectious disease research for the United States to pay for. Can you speak a little bit to how we would have an absolute brain drain in this country if that were to happen?
I was one of those people that discredited the idea of him getting a cabinet position because I thought managing 11 agencies like Medicare, Medicaid, NIH, FDA, that's hard work. And it didn't strike me that RK Jr. wanted to do hard work. So
something that is broadly popular among Republicans and Democrats are community health centers. Mm-hmm. If you live in a rural area and there's not a hospital very close to you, but there is a community center closer to you, it could be decimated.
Yeah. We're watching something happen in slow motion that is terrifying. You know, the reason we have a great country is because there are pillars in place. There are columns and structures, just like in your house, columns and pillars that you don't see, but they keep things in a good place. They keep things in a good direction. We have healthy children because there are people who've made sure that there are things in place for that. And right now we're seeing termites unleashed on everything. And this is a termite appointment.
Well, America, I hope you like measles.
I hope you like measles. And Van Jones before him. We have healthy children. Really? Really? Jesse Waters says, you know, I just went down the New York City, went down the street, saw a kindergarten class out on a field trip. They look like the offensive line for the Dallas Cowboys. What's happening to our children? Who is right? Someone who says something is dreadfully wrong with our children in America, or Van Jones who says we have healthy children. Thanks to these alphabet agencies, the whole food, pharmaceutical, medical, all of it together, it's propped up on the foundation of dealing with the effect. There's got to be some drug. You take some, if you've got the asthma, if you've got the peanut allergy, if you've got the, just take this drug and problem solved. And then along comes Bobby Kennedy, who says, what if we look at the causes of these diseases? When I was growing up, they were unheard of. What's happened? Could it be all of the ingredients that they're putting into our food, our cereals? Ingredients that they're illegal in Europe. They're illegal in Canada. We've got to look at, he's broken down even junk cereals, saying that in Canada, there's something like 6 ingredients. In the States, it's more like 30. Why? Why all of the additions of food coloring and additives and so on? It's insanity. It's destroying our health. And he said out on the campaign trail, you take away just one or two of these poisons and health improves just like that. Now, there's more to it than just what these people, these industries are putting into foods. Americans have to do a better job of just making better choices, for sure. But still, when have you heard, in the last, you know what else is interesting here is just the timing of so much of this junk just being added in food processing. You go back to around the time that Herbert Armstrong died in 1986. You listen to those two that were on with Tucker, the brother and sister duo, if I can find that. They were on with Tucker Carlson not that long ago. Play. Can I find it? I can't find it. Here we go. Clip six.
I wanted to be contributing to politics from an early age, and went to Stanford to go back into politics, studied economics, political science, went straight back to campaigns after school. What I learned quickly is that in campaigns over, you work for the biggest spenders in D.C., and I found myself across the desk from food industry and the farm industry. The farm industry spends five times more in D.C. than the oil industry. By far the biggest spender. Bipartisan, you're working for pharma.
Why would they be spending so much money in D.C.? Whether it's the food producers, the pharmaceutical companies, they're all in bed together. And Jesse pointed this out on his show last night. It's all meant to make us sick and then dependent on them for the drug. Deal with the effect. And it's even worse than that. It's even worse. The food producers are putting poison in their food, putting addictive elements inside the food so that you keep coming back. You become a repeat customer. And then Big Pharma, they get you later as a repeat customer. I mean, it just being healthy, eating healthy, not getting sick. If that's the way we live, Big Pharma loses all their customers. That was Casey Means, his sister's Callie. She's come out with a book recently. It's being exposed. When RFK said so, I played it for you. When he started speaking out against this 20 years ago, he got blotted out. He was censored. That's 20 years ago. And he prayed for 19 years. And now he's being attacked viciously because he's actually got a position, or at least if he gets confirmed, he's going to have a position of authority. People are going to be fired. Changes are going to be made. Whoever would have thought that this was even possible, given what we've seen since the late 80s, early 90s, over the past 30, 40 years? Listen to this CNN roundtable. This is clip 14.
RFK Jr. is a nut.
Okay, so that's different than what you just said. He said he doesn't possess the requisite managerial experience, but then we get to the real issue here, which is you want to insult the man, which is your right to do because you opposed him in the election. But you, doctor, are raising the issues that he has been raising, and I think they're appropriate questions to raise. This whole issue of the CDC and these public health agencies, look, public trust in the health regime in this country is as low as it's ever been.
But why?
It's because of COVID.
Right.
Because of school closures. Because of mask mandates. Because this country was drugged through a bunch of condescending and heavy-handed mandates that all turned out to be garbage, and that's why it's low, and the questions are valid.
Scott, and RFK is the answer to all of that.
Yeah, but RFK helped promote the assault on the CDC that lowered the disinformation.
They argue and argue and argue, ganging up. There's Jennings, the one guy that speaks some common sense, defending RFK. He's just a nut, says Jeff Duncan, who helped to make sure that the election was rigged in Georgia back in 2020. And now he's got the cushy job on CNN. They're all rewarded. John Brennan, he's rewarded. Lying, cheating, stealing. You can get away with it if you're working for the dear leader. Now he's really uncomfortable with Matt Gaetz being appointed. RFK, he comes along and he says, hey, let's look at the causes of all these diseases, and their heads explode. Listen to this bit from Jesse Waters' show last night, clip 15.
If we took all of these chemicals out, our nation would get healthier immediately. We'd have fewer sick days. We'd have better focus. We'd have less anxiety. Our kids would learn more easily. We'd lose weight. We'd have more energy. We'd have fewer tumors and longer lives.
They poison our food and then sell us pills. We get sick and they get rich.
He's exactly right. Well, both of them. They poison our food and then they give us pills and they get rich. Filthy rich. Jesse said they started adding ultra-processed food to the food pyramid. This goes back to the early 1990s. Doctors began prescribing everyone pharmaceuticals, and everyone got a desk job and stared at a screen all day. We've got to make some changes across the board. What is happening to our children? How refreshing to hear some actually address the cause of sickness and disease, as Herbert Armstrong said in so many of his writings. To be sick is not normal. And yet that's what these big government health agencies want for you to believe. It's just normal to develop this allergy or to have asthma or to have heart disease. And we've got exactly what you need. We've got the pill that fixes everything. And it also lines our pockets. Listen to this from The Five last night, clip 16.
You know, the truth is that, I mean, we are so sick and there is so much food that we eat in this country that we give to our children in terms of cereal that they don't allow in Europe. Why is it that they don't allow this stuff in Europe? So that some of the coloring that they use in candy and some of the garbage in cereal? Because of corruption, because of the familial relationship that some of these people in Congress have with the lobbyists. So, I mean, I am absolutely thrilled. The CDC, the FDA, the NIH, especially after what we went through with Fauci.
We had an article at thetrumpet.com a couple years ago, running on COVID money. I mean, a lot of this was exposed in 2020, 2021, with the bioweapon. COVID, remember, was man-made. And then along comes Big Pharma. They've got the solution. An untested vaccine. We wrote at the Trumpet, the coronavirus crisis has decimated the economy and hurt the bottom line of millions of citizens, but it has not been bad for everybody. It says while the bank accounts of small business owners and wage earners dwindle from oppressive lockdowns, vaccine mandates and runaway inflation, big media, big pharma, and big government are reaping fortunes. They're just raking it in. Rivers of taxpayer dollars have poured into these companies as big government has signed lucrative contracts with big pharmaceutical. It's like I brought out years ago with that brought to you by Pfizer. All these commercials pushed by big media, pushed by big government. Everyone's getting a piece of the financial pie, except for ordinary Americans. And ordinary Americans are getting sicker and fatter by the day. Every day it gets worse. This Trumpet article, this is by Andrew Miller. It says America's system of government has safeguards to limit the power of big businesses and to protect everyday Americans. The fundamental safeguard is government representatives being elected from the people, by the people. Today, however, these representatives are influenced by and often literally paid by Wall Street lobbyists. And so here comes Donald Trump. He's elected by the people. And he selects RFK, who was received. I mean, people, you saw some of the clips. Look at how they cheer. He says, I've been praying every day for 19 years. And the crowd just erupts in support, in applause. This is what people want. They want the safeguard. They talk about the safeguards or the guardrails that are now out of place with Trump. He's just going to do whatever he wants. No, he's actually wanted to put guardrails back in place to where big government and big pharma can't just squash ordinary Americans. It says, long before the average person ever heard the word coronavirus, pharmaceutical executives were perhaps the strongest special interest influence on American lawmakers. The National Institutes of Health website acknowledges that health and pharmaceutical companies devote more than $300 million annually to political parties. They've got to pay off the politicians. Now, if it's RFK speaking out, that's to be censored. That's to be blotted out. Here again, when you look at the fingerprints of God, as I've been noting, the fact that just 2 years ago, Elon Musk decides, you know what? I'm going to buy Twitter. I'm going to overpay because I love free speech. I want to be a protector of free speech. Joe Rogan, as you heard earlier, yeah, all these artists, these celebrities, they've contacted me privately saying, I wish I could come out and support Donald Trump openly like you did. To finally see some breakthroughs, to see lies being exposed, to see the truth beginning to set some people free. As I say, it does get you excited about God's coming government to be established on this earth. Righteous rule over all the earth. Revelation 11 and verse 15, read it. Read what it says there. Read what it says at the end of 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection of the saints. Jesus Christ, the first of the first fruits. And God's purpose and plan as it rolls out. We're about to see it. Listen to this from Laura Ingraham's show last night, clip 5.
Now, the effort to discredit the RFK Jr. nomination has been underway ever since he endorsed Trump back in August. A Vox headline, Trump really could empower RFK Jr. to wreck public health. From the New Republic, Trump officially gives RFK Jr. a chance to destroy the country's health. And my personal favorite, from the Arizona Public Health Association, why RFK as HHS secretary could mean the end of evidence-based public health policy. Okay, evidence-based health? How about this evidence? A record number of Americans are suffering from chronic illnesses. One in six adults now has diabetes. And by 2050, given current trends, about 61% of adults are predicted to develop cardiovascular disease. So, RFK understands this is a ticking time bomb for our families, for our hospitals, our doctors, our nurses, our local, state, and federal budgets. And all of this is happening, by the way, as we're spending more on healthcare than ever before. Now, in 2022, we have good numbers. We spent $4.5 trillion, or $13,493 per person on healthcare. That's more than any developed nation, but without any better results. So, speaking of evidence, logic would indicate that what we've been doing isn't working. And ipso facto, we need a fresh perspective before we as a people get even sicker.
Spending more on healthcare than ever before, and yet we're sicker than ever. We made the same point the other day with respect to the Department of Education. Spending more on education than ever before, over $200 billion a year. As we see the dumbing down of our children in our woke society, an educational agency that's more concerned about promoting sexual deviance or wokeness than they are about promoting education, true education. This article, just to highlight again how much has changed in the last couple of years, this is the Trumpet article from 2022. Another safeguard in America's system is free and independent journalism, but even freedom of speech and of the press is now largely being regulated and controlled by the pharmaceutical industry. It says, so a big reason America no longer has an independent press is that the media is owned by the same oligarchs who control the pharmaceutical industry and by extension, the FDA. RFK, with Donald Trump's nod of approval, wants to break that up. In a lot of ways, he's very similar to Elon Musk in that sense. Going against the well-established establishment. There's more we could get into. Maybe I can touch on this a little bit more even next week. But that's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.